the alarm clock. God, I thank you that no adversity, no problem is greater than you. The victory is now mine. It's mine now, God. And I thank you. Hallelujah. God, I give you glory. I'm excited about your word. And Father, I pray for the ears of the people and the hearts of the people that they're able to receive what it is you're going to say. And Father, I give myself over to you completely, God. And I ask that you would use me, use these lips on your behalf, God, to speak to your people. Thank you, Lord. Now, prep their hearts, prep their minds, and prep their ears to hear what it is you have to say. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a round of applause. I got to tell you, I'm always excited and I'm grateful to Minister Francine. When she just said she was supposed to read a scripture. But I want to say reading scripture is great, right? But sharing scripture and its testimony of what scripture has done is even greater. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. So sharing that was so on time and so appropriate, because that's one of the areas where I want to deal with today, because a lot of these things, we're going to continue facing our future with God or without God. And I'm actually, I'm struggling with it. You know, the title I gave it was Facing Our Future. And I want you to be equipped to be able to face your day. Y'all won't get me in a minute. You got to be able to embrace your now. We don't get that. What are you going to understand this in a minute? Because there's only one real time that exists. There's only one. You cannot live in the past. You cannot live in the future. You can only fix things when? In your now. Now, your present moment is the time, is the greatest time that ever exists because of the time that never existed before. Yet, it is the time in which you are to get things done. It's the time in which you are to believe God. And we're going to go into this scripture, and I was dealing with five tactics, and I think I left off at number three last week, and one of the things that we're talking about is facing our future with God or without God. And with God, in Matthew 19:26, it says, when Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Somebody shout hallelujah. So all things are possible through Christ, who strengthens us, who gives us the ability, who is the creator of heaven and earth, the universe. So if everything is in his power and in his hand, and he has a plan, the question are we within the plan? In Proverbs 21:2, it says, every way in a man's eye is right. So I'm going to deal with some things, amen, because it's important that we deal with those based off of the thing is, because in our own eyes, we will make ourselves right. Amen. Glory to God. So this is important. And I think, is Minister Jones here? She needs to hear this word. Okay? Because this is important. I got a word from God. And I want us to get it and receive it. I want all of everybody that God sent here today to get it. So I need you to listen closely. Minister Gracie just said to me, said to us, she said she's been listening to the teachings of what God is saying through about faith. And I gotta, share it with you. I have to believe and trust God by faith, just like you. Every one of us do. And you're gonna get a clearer understanding as we walk through the scriptures this morning. But I wanted to go back over that piece that without God, it's impossible. In man's eye, with man, it's impossible. With God, it's possible. I've experienced that over and over in my life, the impossibilities. But God has brought me so far, but I want to encourage all of you. He's not a respecter of persons, so he's not just trying to do it for me. He wants to do it for you. But we got to grab hold of something that I think is the most important thing. And when we grab hold of it, we will create this and understand who we are and whose we are. And so, one of the things that I want to, before I even get there, but I've been really, God is just transforming me, I've listened to some things. So, when I just share with you, the only time you can live in is the present, which is the now, correct? But if we even try to make it so heavily futuristic, our present will be a living hell. Because we'll be trying to get to a place that has not yet come. And meanwhile, while we're living in it to get to it, not only we will mess it all up here, and it starts here. There's one place that's in trouble, that's causing this problem. It's called the mind. It's here, y'all. This is why. So when I trust God, I cannot trust God with my mind. I need to help somebody here. See, too many of us have been trying to trust God with our mind. We've been trying to trust God based off of what we want, how we feel, what we think it should be. That's the most dangerous place you can be. And so with that, you'll be projecting a future heaven, right? And living in a present hell. And I want to share with us how to live God's way by facing our future with God, but living through the now with Him every day. Oh, y'all got to stay with me. This is all my heart. I drove for 2 hours this morning and just thinking about this, how to explain it, how to share it, right? Because you're absolutely right. I heard somebody say, well, there's a shift going on. Well, the shift's been going on. God's trying to talk to us. And God is not where He used to be. So you keep all about to keep going back to where we were. That's living in the past. You cannot change the past.
Yes.
The past is to be learned from so that you don't repeat it. But it's, I mean, he explained these. I wrote the Bible for y'all as a guide to what things not to do, go back to, or what things to go to, what to gravitate on. He said, that's the whole purpose. So it's not for you to study history. He did it because he gave us a way of escape, of things he knew was coming. But again, he says, I don't want you to get so far ahead into the future. Because he tended the flowers. He said, don't worry about these. They'll take care of themselves. Right? But then I got to tell you something. This is all running through my head. It might come through. I'm going to help me pull it all together, right? And he said, I got to tell you something. So when you live in the now, when you live in the now and in the present, you really don't have problems. You only have problems because you go back in the past and you address them up and you bring up things that are, or you're thinking about something in the future, then anxiety and worry is coming about something you want to make. So you create something and it only happens. But if you're telling me about you, how you live it right now, what's the problem you have now? None. Because you're in the presence of God. And being in the presence of God, this is it. I need y'all to get something. Because I'm telling you, it's killing us. It's hurting our people. And I'm just like, can I help? Can I help? Lord, tell me. And if you're here today, I'm telling you, you're on purpose. God's got a word for you. Okay, one more piece, he said. If light dispels darkness, then darkness has no place in light.
Dispels darkness.
So I need to ask you this question. Is God light? He is, right? Next question. When is salvation? Is it now or futuristic?
Now.
When is it? So if salvation is now and God is light, now y'all can see how we can face our future. Is this making a little bit of sense? All right, I'm going to pull it together. So I gave y'all 5 tactics. And tactic number 1 was to ignore the noise of the enemy. Right? Tactic number 2 is trust God to work where you can't. And I got to tell you something. This is probably number 2 is always, in my book, is always most important. Right? Not the first one, but the second one. And this one being important. Because I need to trust God to do what I can't do. But the beat is, so when I say and think about my adversities, think about my problems, I have to actually say about the fact that if I think about and live in the now and don't allow my past to dredge up things or the future, I can say, I'm blessed. Hello? I'm awoken. I'm alive. I'm well. I got breath in my body. See, I don't care about if I got an ache or a pain. Right? That's the thing. But am I alive? And is that more blessed to me than the pain? So there's some things that I got to learn how to focus in on. And I'm not talking about a mental game here. I'm talking about a reality that God said something. And it makes sense now. Keep looking back at his word. He was trying to direct us when he said, now faith is. When is faith? Now. Then he talked about substance. And then he said evidence. Right? Of something hoped for. Well, the hope always will be futuristic. But he started with the now. Which means, if I'm going to affect my tomorrow, I have to believe it when.
Probably need to put a piece of tape.
So when did he do it?
So
now. Come on, y'all. You gotta stop. I'm not to say no. This ain't no, this is no tricks. Everything was done in the now. So God doesn't live in time. So where's God present at? In the now. So if he's present in the now and we're in it, and the greatest moment happens to be while we are alive. Every one of us that are here today are hearing something that God wants to say. We are alive and well now. David's not here. Saul's not here. But you are. You start thinking, well, he was great. So are you. I'm trying to help somebody change your thought process. Because the enemy's been beating you up, you start thinking you were born on the wrong side of the tracks. There is no side. Once you know God. Oh, somebody thought you were born the wrong color. There is no color once you get to know God. Oh, somebody said they thought they were born with not enough money. And none of it. It's not enough. It has nothing to do with money or any of those things about being with God. I'm going to help us in a minute because I realize everything else is fleeting, but God is real. And he doesn't live in time. And here's the hardest part, because we're so engrossed in it and understanding everything we do is based off of our feelings in the past and the future and all this other stuff. And where's what we got to learn? I'm asking you today, when we take these five tactics, get them and plant them, but learn how to live in the now. You got it. That's what we're going to work on. All right? So trusting. Number two was trust. Trust God to work where you can. Right? And then I think I got to number three. If y'all can help me here. And so number three, tactic number three, was to confront the adversary with the appropriate word. Now let's see. Now, let's go. Number three is to confront the adversary with the appropriate word. I said all things are possible through Christ, right? So if the adversary who is designed against me, to come against me, to stop me, and to prohibit me from being who God wants me to be, right? I have to confront him with the appropriate word. The word is interchangeable, by the way, because the Bible tells me that in the beginning was the word. And then the word was with God. And then the word became God. So I now understand the word to be Jesus. Hello. So when I understand Jesus and I understand the word, then I can apply the word, Jesus, the word he gave into scripture for us, I can apply it against my circumstance, my situation, and then I can walk through it. I'm blessed because everything already has a word for it. I don't care about the things we wish and want. There's a different thing. They really don't have anything to do with the word. What does have to do with the word is what he wants. What he called me to. What he called you to. What he's purposed us for. Now, the things we do in life are a part of our life, right? But it's greater than what you see right now. You gotta get this. So watch this. He said, confront the adversary with the appropriate word. Moses, and use up, give an example, faced one of the most daunting assignments of anyone in the Bible. God sent him to enter the courts of Pharaoh in Egypt and demand the king to let God's people go. Isn't this amazing? He was Moses, a child of God goes back 80 years later to face Pharaoh. Pharaoh's house was the place where God saved him. You're not hearing me. So 80 years earlier, there was an order that was sent out to kill all the children, all the boys that were around up to 2 years old. So a brand new baby up to two, because the word was there was a new king in town. And so what happened was, so Pharaoh, and so Moses' mother takes him. She don't want to lose her son. But she also, supernaturally, because there's a whole lot of them want to lose their son. But for whatever reason, Moses will say, when did salvation begin? It's not a trick question. So his mother believed it, so she went against all odds. She disobeyed the order, put Moses in a basket, pinched the bottom of it with tar so it could float, right? And put him in the river where she knew the Egyptian queens were bathing. She purposed to send her baby in the hands of the enemy who ordered the killing. Y'all not hearing me? And it's the very place that when God said he was going to save him, he saved him, because the daughter takes him in, loves him, sees him as a baby, and takes him to be her own. Raises him up all those years, and he realizes he's not them. He's not one of them. So the very place that you thought would have killed him was the very place that protected him. Who could have done that but God? Who could have turned it? They knew he was a Jewish baby. All the characteristics, they knew all of that. But that didn't change the plan of God. So remember, I thought all things are possible, right? So Moses got the greatest assignment, because now he got to go back and confront. He's got to go back and confront Egypt, the Pharaoh who raised him. Okay? And then come back, and this is a new Pharaoh in town, not the one that raised him. So you remember, he left at 40. He comes back at 80. Okay? So 40 years in between. By the way, 40 is the transformation of a generation. But well, sometimes when things happen, in order for something to happen, a generation has to go through. I hope this generation gets it. Oh, you're not hearing me. I hope this generation gets it, right? I don't want to wait on another one, right? That's me. But so Moses is good. Even though Moses had been adopted member of the royal family, he had been exiled 40 years and wanted for crimes. To return to Egypt and make demands of Pharaoh equated to death. So he understood that, right? But again, Moses returned to the courts and made the demand. Each time Pharaoh denied his request. Each time Moses pronounced the judgment which God honored. 12 great plagues came upon Egypt. Eventually, Pharaoh yielded all of Israel and left Egypt and sojourned toward the land of promise. The key to Moses' success was every time he approached Pharaoh, he confronted him with the appropriate and timely word from God. You see that word says timely, and I don't, you know, again, it was the word he heard from God at that moment. He knew God from many years earlier. He had heard the voice of God years earlier. So you gotta be careful repeating what you heard. Oh, let me say it to the people here. You gotta be careful repeating what you heard, and be keen to repeat what you hear. Because what you hear is important, because wow, what you're hearing is always going to be connected to the now. What you heard is always going to be connected to the past. So I need some people here to be careful of keep repeating the past things. Because that's why you keep winding up back in the same places you've been. Because you're approaching the future with what was. So I'm telling you, I got this thing means so much more to me. The now, a simple word. In fact, I gotta tell you something. The now is just as important as the word that was in Genesis. In Genesis, he said, let light be. And it was. He spoke to it, right? He said, let. Everything was in. And now, guess what the word is for on this side of grace? Now. Now is the most important word that should be in our vocabulary. Y'all got to get this. Y'all only think is, how in the world did he get there? I'm telling you, we keep living in all these other places that doesn't have any effect. In fact, it's catapulting us into more adversity, more trouble, and with the things that we're going to face, we're not facing them with God because we're not in the now. In fact, you got so much anxiety and so much worry and so much. You are all the way up here, and God's still right here waiting on you, and he's been trying to say something to you, but you can't hear it. Because he's trying to talk to you when? He's not talking to you. How many of y'all, the prophecy is futuristic, but the word is now, timely. I'm trying to get some. So Moses faces Pharaoh with God at the appropriate, at that now moment in his life. Because, see, 40 years earlier, he wasn't ready. It took him all those years to get ready. So I want to share with you. So there's some things where God wants to get you ready for. My question is, are you preparing yourself? I got a question to all of you. If you think this thing is going to happen by osmosis, I'm sadly to tell you, I'm sorry to tell you, not going to happen. But if you prepare yourself simply, if it's nothing but a scripture, this week, not every day, I'm going to go just get one for the week and stand on it and say, am I able to live this? Can I walk this? And then this thing's going to start to come. But then the thing will start to come alive to you. I got to tell you, I love the Bible now. The Bible comes alive to me. It talks to me. I first opened my Bible up just like you. First time I opened it, I did it just, I learned how to read a book from left to right. Is that, and then how y'all learn? In America, that's how we learn, right? And so, and I opened it up at the first page. And then I went to the next page. And I was thinking, none of this stuff makes sense. None of it. I'm not going to get nothing out of it. And now it speaks to me. Because it wasn't a book to read like that. It took me all these years to realize it, right? But now, when I open it up, it talks to me. It tells me what's going on. It might even tell me the next move. I'm sharing with you. So the word speaks. And timely. So he goes to Pharaoh with the word. And Pharaoh, but see, Pharaoh, who knew, he knew he was anointed. He knew Moses was anointed. Right? But he still, because he was Pharaoh, he resisted. And he thought his pharaohship gave him a greater authority. How many know there's nothing greater than God? Thank you. So there's nothing greater than God. God was speaking through Moses. And so Moses' key to success is every time he approached Pharaoh, he confronted him with an appropriately timely word. Leaders must learn to do as Moses did. You must hear directly from God. You cannot hear from God from the past. You cannot hear from God in the future. The only place you can hear from God is when? Come on, y'all. The only place. So if you mad, upset, and got everything else going on, and you cannot hear God's word, you will not do God's word. I'm telling you, there's some things that are blocking our blessings. I want to get you into walking in the power of the now. The power of God. Understandable to each and every person. Listen, we must learn to hear directly from God. Why? Because my answer is in the Word. Remember, this isn't just a history book. This is a life-living book. This is an answer book. This has my answer in it. My answer is in the Word. This Bible happens to be a version of one of the word, right? Now there's over 70,000 verses in the Bible. 72,000 to be exact. More than 72,000 plus some verses in the Bible, right? Which covers every area of your life. Don't be looking for your name. It don't say, Jermaine, I need you to do this today. It's talking about you because you are a child of God, which means you are in it. So you're there and you have access because you're one of his children. So that's why we have to, now we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. So once we come over, we make him Lord. Now we have access to the Word. Those that don't know him don't have access to him. That's why they talk about it, because they don't know what it is. They don't know what it says. And then he can't speak to them because they don't even recognize the voice. But I got to tell you, there's some Pharaoh knew that Moses was of God. He knew that he could hear from God. So there's a time when they know who you are, they know what you're doing, but they still may not recognize you. They went to Moses. So Moses says, listen, he said, reveal, he said, being sent by God to do, listen, I'm sorry, leaders must learn to do as Moses did. You must hear directly from God, be sent by God to do your mission. And as you speak only the revealed words of God when you confront your adversary. So again, you got to use the word of God. But hold on, I didn't tell you to make up no story. Did y'all hear me? You have to use the word he gave you. You start using a whole lot of other things, they're going to roll off like water off a duck's back. But when you use the word, it will penetrate. And it will facilitate what it was sent to do. Oh my God. I woke up this morning and I said, I'm blessed. Right? But if I allow my mind, which is one of the things I'm learning to bring into subjection, my mind will take me into all the things that haven't happened yet. And then give me anxiety and worry about things I don't even need, that I can't even do anything about because it's not even here. So by living in the mind, I told y'all something, y'all gotta get this one. This ain't one of the tactics I gave the knowledge. We gotta live in the spiritual, but you're natural. So there's a very difficult thing to do, right? I gotta be honest, I'm gonna admit it's very difficult because what's happening is every morning I wake up, my spirit man and my flesh man are ready to do the battle. They fighting all day. They're gonna fight all day long. Okay. When I wake up in the morning, my natural man kicks in, and so I gotta tell you, the only place I can live. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm giving to you. Is the mind natural or spiritual? Say it again. Is the mind natural or spiritual? Natural. So if you live in the mind, you're living in the natural. So if you come back and you allow this to take over and not get this and shut it down. And by the way, the only place you can live in time is in the mind. Time doesn't exist anywhere else. It only exists here. That is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But if we don't use it right or we allow it to control us, then we will not understand what God was trying to say and do. So this is so, so important, right? I'm trying to finish this thing, but he kind of ticked me off a little bit here. So living and trusting God and believing God and allowing him to do the work, I got to do it by using the word, right? And then using the word, I got to believe God that the word of God, when I confront my adversary, that the word is going to do what he sent it to do. I don't need to project nothing into it. But the moment I go into my mind and allow my mind to take over, it starts bringing about all these what ifs. And if I go into past, my past will bring up my past pain. By the way, I found out pain likes pain, and it will generate more pain than feed the pain. Oh, y'all not hearing me. So I got to get out of my mind and get into God. I believe God by faith. When? Now. So if I can live in the now and stop taking out all this, this is not an easy task. But this we're going to start today, y'all. We're going to start today. Because I've been talking now faith for a long time. But he gave me a different perspective. And I need y'all to get this thing. Because too often, and I'm going to get to be able to explain it. Now, he will give me the ABCs on this. So we're going to lay it out. Because this is the key. One of our tools. We'll get out of this thing so we can live appropriately by being who he's called us to be. I'm tired of the saints of God living beneath their privileges. I'm tired of living in a problem-ridden world. Problems will exist, but problems were designed to be fixed. And God would not have planned me here if he didn't have a plan and a place for me to get through it. You're going to say that about yourself. You better believe that about yourself. And the question is, if you haven't accomplished it, then you need to get up and get on your horse of faith and ride him. Listen. Otherwise, if you don't apply and confront the adversary with the word, you might talk yourself out of victory. I'm watching it happen to people. I'm watching some things happen by the things they say out their mouth and the things that they're doing. They are talking themselves right out of their victory. I'm watching it happen. And I said, Lord, help me to explain this. Because I know you want them to be victorious.
Yeah.
And because you want them to be victorious, they don't understand what it is you're trying to say. And so, Lord, help me to help them get to where they need to be. And it's through his word. And so we got to be careful. And again, I can't quote and live and walk and believe God's word by faith if I'm focused in on my mind about my problems and what happened last time. Or what is to come. Right? So remember, I'm talking about facing our future, but the only real time that exists is my now. My presence, right? It's the only place I can fix something. I can only fix something in my now. And so if we're not there, y'all, I'm going to drive this thing home. So if I'm not in faith now, I can't get what I need. If does that make sense, that's a simple one. 1 + 1 = 2. If you don't believe God now, you can't make a difference. That's simple. That's what everybody should have got, right? So using these tactics is important. And I'm going to go get all four or five of these out of the way. Just like God said. Number four is maintaining integrity. See, this is important. Your integrity,
you know,
on the word. He said, so, and by the way, integrity does not mean perfect. Right? Joseph was the youngest son in a large family. His father loved him dearly and therefore spoiled him. Nonetheless, all the other brothers, even his father, disregarded his dream as foolishness. And his brothers' collective resentment turned to hate. They almost killed him. But they chose instead to sell him to a foreign slave. In cold and callous act, they deceived their father about his supposed death. So in other words, so I now want to share with you, everybody knows the story of Joseph. As he was enslaved, he maintained his integrity. You know, he got put in prison, he got put in a dungeon. Everywhere he went, he operated in integrity. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about oil and water. They really don't mix well. You can put them in there, and you can stir it up and get them in together. But just let it sit for a moment. The oil will always rise to the top. Always. It will separate itself. Y'all not hearing me? That's the difference between the saints and the angels. It should always separate itself. At some point, you got to get it mixed with them, but then at some point, your integrity should cause you to rise to the top. But when you have no integrity, you'll become just like that. So integrity is important, right? This thing is important. So and I love it. Joseph walks in integrity as a slave. Years pass by, and then he was promoted to a position of authority in the kingdom. And listen, he was second to Pharaoh. And that's where I got my downloads and information about the number two. Because Joseph was the 11th son, but he was the second most powerful man in the world. But I can tell you something. It didn't mean nothing to be number one. So I'm going to help somebody that always got to be first. Because one couldn't do anything without two that God has assigned. One couldn't do anything without two that's assigned. There's some people trying to do some stuff, and they're not the one that was assigned to them to get what they need. They're not listening. Hello? Family, and to all those that are listening online and everywhere else, God gave me what he said to put in me. Don't be mad at me. He said, and if he's going to be mad, it's like, be mad at God. But I wouldn't advise that. But he put this in me to give me a work for you. He assigned you. I didn't. I ain't called none of y'all. I ain't called none of y'all as my kids. I'm glad you are. But you nevertheless, because I'm assigned. And I understand the assignment. And I pray that you receive it in love and with integrity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, he said, Joseph suffered incalculable betrayal and injustice, and yet eventually obtained immeasurable victory. Listen to me. He suffered lots of betrayal and injustice. Some of y'all might say, you know, you've been betrayed, you've had injustice. I have to ask you the question. Is God on the throne in your life or not? Because if he is, according to the scripture, you will get victory out of it in spite of what someone else intended to do. So my question is, who do you trust? And whose report are you going to believe? We have to be careful to projecting some things in place and really trust God to who he said he is and what he said he would do. Because if I really believe, and I do, of what God said about my life and over my life, now I got to walk in it. More so, not just for me, but for all of you. I need you to see what it looks like. I need to be an example to understand the God I'm talking about is the God that's operating right now. So he said, listen, he said that. So it happened because Joseph maintained his integrity. When there was no one watching, he still remains faithful to God. He never compromised his self-worth or correctness before God. And as a leader, you must maintain your integrity regardless of the circumstances against you. I can tell you, you could be put in some pretty tight spaces and places. Well, nobody.
If I can see that on the video, I can imagine how.
The question is that true?
When people say,
according to scripture, my God knows all things. Can see all things, so he's omnipotent, omnipresent. Right? So if that's true, and it is, then what about my time with him? Did y'all read the scripture? He said, I'm married to the backslider. I'm going to help somebody. He was with you. You know what you thought? He was with you. He was there. We must maintain our integrity regardless, irregardless of the circumstances against you. Tactic number five. And that, the Bible, I'm going to tell you how it was written in so many great places for us and to us, but it was really good to learn from it. Okay, it's a tool to learn. To increase our faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Right? But where does faith begin? Now. Don't do everything you are capable of doing. Don't do everything you are capable of doing. So you'll get me here in a minute. Because according to scriptures, do all you can do and then trust God, right? But as a young lad, David was anointed as a prophet Samuel to be a future king of Israel. God used him to do great exploits by killing the lion, a bear, the Philistine champion named Goliath, and he became King Saul. In spite of his loyalty, his goodness, his family connection, Saul despised him. He was jealous of him when he sought to kill David. David spent years on the run. Even he hid in a cave, and there came a time when David could have easily killed Saul. This is where don't do everything you could do.
Right.
So I know y'all didn't understand that one, but then I needed to read that so you get to that point. Let me share with you. He could have killed him. By the way, he had went to Saul while Saul was using the bathroom. Read the scripture. And he was behind him. And he cut off a piece of his robe to let him know. Because God told him, don't touch him. He's mine. I called him. He may be coming after you, but you don't touch him. Saul is down later in the story, in the scriptures. Saul is down at the bottom of the hill. David's at the top of the hill. And David shares with him, Saul, if I wanted to kill you, you'd have been dead already. I got your robe in my hand. Check your robe back there and see if it's cut. So don't do. You know that one, I want to give him a piece of my mind. I want to give him a piece of the one too. You can be careful giving them a piece of something that you wasn't supposed to give them. Right? Because what you're supposed to give them is the word.
Right.
And if you'll speak the word and confront your adversary and the adversity that comes up against you, it will get you out of it that you won't have to give them a piece of you. Hello, somebody. So in other words, I gotta protect my anger, I gotta protect my lips, and so soon as I'm gonna give them, I want all.
I
protect it because I want to say something. You know, one of the things being a visionary, how often I'm misunderstood. I'm being misunderstood because people always think that I made a decision or a choice or said something and it was about them personally. Can I tell you something? I never make a decision about people or anything personal because it's too big. It's bigger than that. It's about the vision. So it's always going to be about God's people. But it might affect you personally. But it was never about you.
Yes.
I know a couple of people about it, some of them just went, all right? You'll understand that. I'm dealing with that with somebody right now. Things change. And because the things change, now they're saying things that are not right. But that's up to them. I'm not going to feed into that. Because that's going to affect their life, not mine. I'm a blessing. And I've been a blessing. And I know it. Okay? But you know what? Again, that's what you've got to be able to use the word at the right time. And so, listen, don't do everything you're capable of. He couldn't kill Saul that day, but he didn't. So there's times of being a leader, you must not do certain things, even though you have the power and the capability of doing so. Do all you know to do in Christ. But that which sometimes comes up in you that want to respond and rebel or come up against something, that's, you know, when he said, the battle is not mine, it's the Lord, that thing is true. Because you'll end up trying to fight something you ain't supposed to be fighting. So I ain't fighting people no more. I ain't fighting haters. I'm loving on them. I'm a very emotional person. Like, you know, now, Lady Eddie is probably around me the most. Pastor Rob, but they see me emotionally. You say something, you know, I kind of respond. And you say something against Harvest, I really respond. Because why? Harvest is the baby that I'm supposed to be raising. Right? So I'm kind of defensive of it. But I say, sir, I don't have to defend Harvest. If God spoke it into being, he is defended. I didn't speak what he said. And you got a problem with that, then that's on you. So, Harvest is going to be victorious. Let me speak that over. Harvest is blessed. Harvest is victorious. Harvest is financially sound. Harvest is on top of this game. Harvest, I'm going to say it because I'm going to speak it into existence. I'm going to let nobody turn directly to any way behind that. Just because it is, you know, something that affected you. Hallelujah. Listen. These five practices are for leadership to replicate in other biblical stories. Whether you face adversaries, you consider how the spiritual forefathers in faith overcame opposition and resisted it. I love the faith chapter in chapter 11 and 12. And even says to me that some of them overcame and they didn't even see the promise. But here's what they did. The Bible tells me they embraced it. And because they embraced it, it came to pass for you and I. There were some people that went before for you and I. We had to do some things before you and I. So you gotta be the one to set the stage. Because when it's been illustrated and demonstrated, then they see how it's been done, right? You know, I've been looking back and look over my children, right? I got two of my sons, right? That I can't out-talk. But I know where they got it from. But on the other hand, I'm excited because I know they have the ability because God gave it to them and he gave something they gave to me that I was able to demonstrate in front of them. One of them, he just did it. It took 36 years, but that's all right. Sometimes it's weird, as long as you get it. But I was just saying, it's better late than never. I met a little 10, but he's almost 11, little boy, in the store, and I was buying a fishing rod. He said, I'm going to learn to fish. So I was asking questions, and he's telling me what kind of rod and what everything was. And I was like, wow, I can learn a lot from you. He said, yeah, I've been fishing all my life. I said, all your life? How old are you? And he said, I said, you 10, 11? He said, almost 11. So I said, okay, I get it. But he knew his stuff and he knew what he was talking about. My point in saying all of this is God's doing some stuff in people. And I want to get all of us to understand who we are, whose we are, and what time it is. And the time is now. The time is now. I want to help somebody too. I want to talk to you. Right now, your mind can be very dangerous against you. If you learn to live in the present, and then you really start asking, if I ask you right now, what problems do we have right now at this moment? And we, one of us can say none, right? We can dream up some, think about some stuff, right? But the truth of the matter is we have none. And if light has come, darkness is dispelled. Only you can let darkness in, and it's in your mind. But it's not here. And so we gotta learn, and this is what I like about the scriptures, because God covered the bases in this, and I want to help us, his family. We keep basing our future with the thoughts of what could be. Right now, I'm going to help all y'all. We're living in a world with a whole lot of uncertainties. We're living in a country that got a whole lot of uncertainties. That nobody has an idea about what tomorrow's going to bring. But that's really not new. I just think it's more in your face than ever before right now, than ever before. Yeah, prevalent. But I'm saying it's always been this way. And I'm saying to the children of God, the saints of God, the people of God, to learn to live in the now. I'm not going to get hung up on the price of eggs. They are ridiculously high, right? But either I can say I'm not going to eat them, or I'm going to eat eggs because I want. And God, I'm going to need you to provide. Right? Well, you'd be like my daughter. My one daughter lives in Harrisburg, and they got a nice piece of property. They got chickens. Their chickens lay eggs every morning. So, no, but I'm not getting to it. I'm not getting to it. Whatever they are. Rob knows them and Brandy know how to do it. But I'm not getting them in the city. All right. But my point is that he will provide. And I want us, because right now, prevalent thing that's affecting the body of Christ and the church is mental illness. It's affecting everybody everywhere. But again, I'm part of it is not living by faith and not trusting God. Right? So we're hearing about all these other things. People got anxiety about what's going to happen in the future. Depression about what happened in the past. Look, I got some on both sides of it, but neither one of them are now. Neither one. Man, I'm not telling somebody they don't go do that. But if you'll deal with your now, and your now will deal with your circumstances, your situation, it can help you deal with your anxiety, it can help you deal with your depression. Because at the end of the day, I start thinking, no matter what has happened, I'm still blessed. I said, you know, to God, thank you. Thank you for the life you've given me. Thank you for the opportunity to be the man you called me to be. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you for my children. They're not perfect. Thank you for it. I'm being thankful. Right? And then I said, God, teach me how to live before them and what to say, what to do. God, let me confront with the word of God. I got to stop confronting stuff with my feelings. That's what we're missing. You confront it with your feelings, I guarantee you I'll miss it every time. Because I'm a passionate person, and I get anxious. Every time I get anxious about something to do, it's a wrong time to move. To just, ladies, pass away. And I go back, show them all the thank you. So, God would use it to have right out there waiting. You know, she hear everything's going on, right? So I just hope she praying for me, and then give you the right, say the right thing. Okay, I don't need you to judge me. Just tell me what the truth is. That's right. Hold on. Think about that. Just put it into God. Put God's word on it, and then boom, put God's word on it. Circumstances, situation, change. When I deal with it now. Because I heard it. Remember, you can only fix things in the present. But our mind keeps taking us back. And God got it right when he said, now is. That's huge. Two words now. Now is. Right? That's when it starts. And that's when we start the offensive. Amen. I pray you, God, that you receive this word. I'm excited. I'm excited about God. I'm excited because I heard someone come up and said, I've been listening to the teaching. And that's my prayer. You know, when it ignites in the ear. Otherwise, if I'm just saying things and this is going out in one ear. Okay, oh, I thought I was done. Yeah, number five. Don't do everything you can't kick for God. You miss it. So that's when, and David could have killed Saul, but he didn't. Okay? And so I want you, so emotionally, he was tired of being chased. There was no secret Saul wanted to kill him. Right? And he would have had he had not. But David needed to know something. I got to tell you something. Did David get killed by Saul? No. You know why? He couldn't. He could kill him as long as he did what God said to do. His anointing that was on his life protected him. As long as he was doing what God said to do, which is, oh, thank you. As long as you're doing what God said, you're going to be protected. It's the moment you're outside the will of God and outside of His hands that you don't have it.
That's right.
I'm trying to talk to the church. Bring yourself into the presence of God. Presence now. Ain't no need to go talking about when I was, you know, back in 68, you know, when I met God. Or, you know, I got a history, I got some things that happened in my life, you know, been flooded twice and all that. They passed me. I'm on dry ground now. Hallelujah. I'm buckling, I'm building up, not an out. Right? I ain't talking about being washed away. Those days. I'm just saying, you can live there and say, oh, woe is me. It was really bad. And no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But oh, we're going to move into the future. And I would love for all of you. How many, by a show of hands, and all of you that are watching, if you're still on the air, how many of you believe God called you to something? All right. Okay. I'm glad you all got your hand up because then, now I got to encourage you. You're right. You're right. Now the question is, what you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? I heard somebody, time went on. Remember, he doesn't live in time. I heard you, you said anybody, well, you know, I'm older now. What's that got to do with anything? Did he say it or did he not? So if he said it, I'm telling you, all that other stuff, you keep bringing up. Don't have no place for
great
God. It ain't in the scriptures. Well, I've gone through this. I've gone through that. And I think that's great for testimony. I got testimony. I've been through some stuff. And I'm still standing. Ain't got no right mind. At least I think I do.
Facing our future.
No, but he's got to deal with me every day more and more. The only time, family, I love you so much that, you know, I really want to get this across to you. I want to see you change. I want to see us change. I want to see us grow. And no longer is it about numbers. When I'm talking growth now, I want to grow spiritually. And I would love for the numbers to grow with us spiritually. But I also read the book. More people are interested in the engineer stuff than they are the truth. And I don't have time for engineer. I can only tell you the truth. I want to see you receive the truth. I want to see your life change and be blessed because you got the truth. I want to see you walk in. Like, I get excited to see people change. And when I'm seeing young mothers, young fathers, young, all people, period, change their life and start walking. Want better where they want. They really have a hunger and a desire. And it's not magic, it's work. I don't want to encourage you. And more so, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying with you. And I wish I could do it for you, but I can't. Okay? All the best I can do is stand with you. And that's what I want to tell everybody. You can count on me to stand with you. I don't have any time to stand against anybody. I will not waste any energy. I figured it out. I'm not wasting any energy on a negative thing. Somebody said something, said something against all of them, and then some papers came across my desk and something about their life, and I was going to put them on blast. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. And I said, I know. And just as quick as it came in, I threw it out. You know, went in, I pulled that up, get rid of that. That's not God. Right? Don't waste your energy. God, focus on the word of God. Right? And we're going to face our future. Face it with God. But you got to face it in the now. Don't face it with futuristic and don't face it in the past. Right?
my center.
Yeah.
So just click in the box.
So far off, then I'm going to get it. And I need to, that's why I call it salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is now. But if you think you're only going to get salvation when you get
I'm trying
to
get everything.
Yeah, I've been preaching this for a long time. I am not worried about getting to heaven.
I'm not.
Yeah, I want to get the kingdom of God is now. Is 90. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says it's 90. It's here. Right? I don't have time to wait until I get to heaven to experience his blessings. I don't know about you, but I want to act. Right? Because he said it for now. He's not waiting for me
face
to get to heaven.
Future.
No,
face
I,
in the future.
I'm trying to encourage you. So if you sit here, you think you've got to spend your life to get to heaven? That is not the goal. The goal is to live it now. That doesn't mean live perfect. It means live with God. Live by his rule. Live by his word. When? Now. That means every time you get up and you're in the presence, seek God's word on everything. Seek God's word on everything. Seek God's word as a young mother. Seek God's word at the place where I spoke to. Seek God's word about the job. Sometimes there's some people you're going to send your way. What should I say to them? Why are they telling me their business like that? What? How many of y'all ask that? Why are they coming to tell me? Because they need something from you. So give them the word. Amen? Come on, let's give the Lord a round of applause. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? God will honor you when you honor him and the principles of his word. Adopt these proven tactics into your circumstances. And allow God to bless you and your leadership. Amen. That's the word of God for today. Come on, give the Lord one more round of applause.
Yeah. About 40 viewers that can't see that.
I hope I didn't confuse nobody, but I really struggled to kind of get this out and bringing in the presence.
Yep.
And I want to help people who are doing a lot of projecting. And a lot of people that still bring up our past. And I want to share with you, you know, all of this happens in the mind. You know what else is a dangerous thing? Ego. They in the mind. They want to project you to be something, or you feel like you need to be, or have to be, or do. Why don't you just be who God called you to be? Why don't you just do what God called you to do? When you simplify things, it'll become a lot easier. Amen? All right. Well, let's be a blessing to God with our tithes and offering. Amen. Here's an opportunity. I need y'all to be like me. One of the things that I have my bank account was always there right away. We can't ever miss it. I got my tithes like the government. They take it out like tax.